Hi, I'm Hugh Weber. Welcome to the Potluck Society. Each week, in partnership with South Dakota Public Broadcasting, we join together to share the stories of ordinary people building extraordinary communities. This week, we track down Ashley Rick, the manager of Unglued Sioux Falls, a downtown shop featuring over 200 local and regional modern makers, crafters, and artists. We were over the moon excited to sit down with Ashley, but the only availability in her busy schedule was late one weekday evening outside a local coffee shop where she was taking down a string art installation. You'll hear some background noise, a little bit of traffic, and even a really cute dog, but the conversation's worth it. I know you're going to enjoy. Please meet Ashley Rick.
I'm Ashley Rick. I am the manager at Unglued and also co-owner of Cambium, which is my husband and I's combined hobby business.
Now, come on, Ashley. The listeners deserve a fuller introduction to you.
I don't believe in living the same day twice. It's not who I am. I crave chaos. I crave challenges. If things are easy, I get bored. If things are mundane, I get bored. If I schedule 7 things in an afternoon and I don't know how I'm gonna get all done, like, they will get done because I have to. And I wouldn't choose to have it any other way.
When I asked Ashley where this worldview came from, she knew immediately, and she pointed to a specific incident with a middle school teacher named Mr. Tom.
I always had a problem growing up. My brother Kenny is insanely creative, and we're like just over a year apart, so I always felt like I was in the shadow of him, and I would get really down on myself because I'd be like, oh, he's so much more creative, and then I kind of just gave up for a little bit. And I had an assignment in art class and I couldn't think of what to do, and I copied one of my brother's paintings or drawings and handed it in, and I was just so mad that I had given up on it. And Mr. Tom pulled me aside and he just said, this looks really familiar. And I said, I know, I didn't even know what to do. And he gave me another chance, and he threw it away, which is what needed to happen. And he gave me another night to work on it, and he gave me all these pointers. So he just said, why don't you, you know, think about your dreams, think about things that are in your life, what inspires you, what makes you who you are.
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I attended the same high school as Ashley, but at an entirely different time and never had Mr. Tom as a teacher, but he was the closest thing to Clark County's Mr. Miyagi.
Got home and drew something that just kind of, I don't even remember what it was that I drew, and handed in the next day, and he just took it and gave me a grade and threw it away. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Like I said, Mr. Miyagi, with a little bit of tough love. But Mr. Tom wasn't done in middle school. He showed up again in college.
For a while in college, went through this hoarding phase of keeping all my paintings and not wanting to get rid of them. And he called me out on it, and he said, why are you keeping them? Like, give them to people or get rid of them. And I just said, well, but this is such a part of who I was for such a long time. And he goes, okay, so what are they doing in your closet?
Well played, Mr. Tom.
And so I gave a couple away, and then I had a bonfire, and it was awesome. And I think that has also helped who I am, not necessarily having this short-lived lifespan for my art, but just the fact of, like, things are not going to go as planned. Like, you're going to make things, and there's going to be horrible, horrible pieces that come from it. But then there's also, like, knowing when to put it away and start again, or work on something else and put your energy into something else, is huge too.
Ashley's about to drop a Mr. Tom-sized knowledge bomb. Get ready for it.
There are a lot of friendships that I have, and family members, and things, you know, just life in general, that you put so much energy into, and you're just draining yourself, and you just need to know kind of when to shelve it and put your energy into something else that makes you feel who you are.
This self-awareness that Ashley has that lets her know which things are exhausting her and draining her, which things are inspiring her and fulfilling her, has become a defining characteristic of her life and her work. And she knows who to thank.
He was so right. He kind of helped free up my world of creating and inspiration. And I will eternally be thankful for him. And I don't know if he knows that, but I'm sure I'll get embarrassed at some point and somebody will say something and I'll be like, oh, by the way, Mr. Tom, who I still call Mr. Tom, and I am a grown adult. Come on.
These lessons were well learned, but Ashley's creative path was not a straight one. She would meet her partner for life, Josh, both her husband and her creative collaborator. She would spend years in a corporate design role that wasn't right for her. But eventually she'd be called back to making and creating herself. And there were others that needed her as well.
It was a lot of embroidery and string art, cross stitch, stuff like that. And I think that was me just trying to get back into who I was at the beginning of, you know, junior high when I was doing embroidery, which you don't tell your friends because it's not a way to be cool in junior high to admit that you do string art. Or cross stitch, but it was a way of me like coming back to finding my maker self again. And Josh and I had talked about it, and I went out and bought a cross stitch kit, and I was like, "This is I'm gonna do this again." He said, "He just said, you know, I think you just need to create stuff to create." And I said, "You're right." So I did, and I really enjoyed it, and it really brought me back to like thinking about who I was as a young adult, and helped recenter me.
And when she found that center for herself, she found out she was no longer an uncool teenager cross-stitching. She was at the center of cool.
I think that for so long, we've all just assumed that it's, you know, like the grandmas of the world that were doing this and nobody else is making crafts. But so not true. It's these like teenagers and 20 somethings and 30 somethings on up, and they're all trying to figure out who they are and make this amazing product and get it out into the community.
These crafters and makers were an expansive group, willing to cross generational divides for the sake of their crafts and the traditional arts.
There are a lot of the 20 and 30 something year olds that I know right now that really enjoy talking to the 70 and 80 something year olds and sharing stories about when they used to do this, and they might not see eye to eye, right? Like, the things that I cross-stitch now are not the things that my grandma or her friends are cross-stitching.
Let me just say it gets a little bit colorful, a little sweary with some curse words.
But that doesn't mean that they don't both respect the craft of it. And they make because that's who they are.
They had different motivations, but they were part of something bigger.
They need to. And maybe they do it because they want to give them away. And maybe they do it because that's what they do for income. But they're all part of this family. And I'm very honored and proud to be part of that and enjoy every day of it.
She talks about being part of it, but she was its de facto leader. She launched Hatch 605, the first real collective of makers, the first real makers fair in this region, but she saw something bigger was possible.
I didn't know how to turn that into what I knew it could be, to support all these makers that are making incredible things, but you don't know how to show people because they're drowned out on Etsy or they're hoarding it all in their basement because they don't believe it's good enough.
This is where my story and Ashley's story intersect. I saw another Ashley in Fargo running a shop called Unglued and invited Ashley Morkin from Fargo to meet Ashley Rick from here in Sioux Falls.
I just remember saying, like, you need to meet this Ashley. She was that missing link, right? And when we met at Odin, instantly became friends. We had talked about doing the pop-up shop. She had a girl who was gonna move down here, and that fell through, so then she hired me. And it just became this world of makers that I didn't even know was possible. Like, I had, you know, worked with my little core group of like 8 to 10 people, but there were all these people all of a sudden that were coming out of the woodwork saying that their loved ones make this, or so-and-so makes that, or their niece, or whatever. And this world started to open that were makers that were doing things that you would never even imagine came from Sioux Falls, or Mitchell, or Yankton, or wherever, and maybe even smaller towns. And they've been doing them forever because grandma taught them or grandpa taught them, and there are these traditional arts that they didn't want to die.
The two Ashleys started Unglued as a pop-up here in Sioux Falls, but it now has a permanent location on Phillips Avenue. It was thriving, and so was Ashley.
I love being this connection between makers. I love when makers come in and see something that somebody else has done, and then they collaborate together. Because now they have a new friend, they have this new inspiration in their life. They're all just trying to make something that they love. And all of a sudden it's these people who are making this network of hopefully people inspiring other people.
Unglued wanted to build more than just a group of people doing the same and selling the same things. They wanted to become a community.
We want to be this community. We want to give a community of support, of inspiration, of hope, of understanding.
This community of understanding corresponded with Ashley's thriving as an artist herself. It was a little known collection that would define the next chapter of her work.
I also have a ridiculous collection of 1970s string art. Which is, there's one, it's a koala. It kind of looks like it has rabies. But he's so great! I started thinking about that and I was like, I have this collection and I appreciate this art form so much. Maybe you should try and make one. And so I made a couple South Dakotas, and the first one I made, I actually still have at our house. But it turned into this thing where Josh and I could work together, which was really important to me and to him. We've always worked well together, and it was just one of those things that kind of like brought us together as a couple, because we each have our own worlds and it's so easy to get pulled apart, and we just needed to regroup.
But in that togetherness, Ashley also wanted to show her independence.
There's something about me needing my independence or feeling like I can do things by myself, because I'm a strong woman. Like, I can do it myself. I don't need help. So he taught me how to use all these tools, like the router and everything. So when I made the Unglued sign, that was the big one. It's like, you're not helping me. I'm doing this on my own. And it was like over 70 hours of just, had I let him help me, it would have been easier. But I think for him, it was important too, because he got to see that, you know, it was really important to me to follow through in it. And that piece really kind of solidified my passion for the wood and the nails and the string, and to make something that is like, when people see it, they just go, oh.
They tend to go more than, oh, They also say wow and incredible and think about how much work went into this. Her art has been displayed throughout our region and has shown up even in some celebrity birthday gifts.
Every piece that I make is a piece of me goes into it because I want the end person to feel that. I want the end person to be happy about it or to have it feel, have this nostalgic feeling to have it. I don't want to say that I want them to feel lonely or sad, but sometimes it does, and at the same time it's healing because they've lost a loved one or a pet or something, and maybe that's what they needed, was just a piece of art from somebody who took them a minute to think about them.
It sounds to me like Ashley found the balance of making art personal but not precious, that it could be temporary, a momentary emotion or experience, and not have to live on someone's wall or in someone's closet forever. It's possible that this was the lesson that Mr. Tom was trying to teach her.
But this community that has come out of the store, it is personal. I feel every day so thankful to have this community of makers, and some I still have not met to this day. Like, we have over 200 now. We started with 60 2 years ago. And some of them I've never met and I won't ever meet, but every time they send stuff, they take the time to write these cards or emails or whatever, just saying how thankful they are that they're part of the Unglued community, or that their stuff is in Sioux Falls or where, whatever the case may be. I can't help but make it personal. I don't go to work every day and work crazy hours because I don't love it. Like, I genuinely, a part of me is in that store, and whether I'm here or not, like, it always will be.
Ashley has found success in making, but she hasn't forgotten just how hard it can be. She has a message for all the makers and creators out there.
It's not easy to be a maker. It's not easy to do what you love. It's sometimes extremely hard and super frustrating, and you want to quit. And I think that's where the difference is. It's the people who don't quit and who are stubborn and who just keep going. But I think sometimes you need that in your life. You need that community to remind you that you're not the only one.
Thank you to Ashley Rick for her stubbornness and her sincerity, for her passion and her commitment to this community of creativity. Keep making and inspiring makers. This week, our action antidote is simple. Go find something that you treasure. Maybe it's a family heirloom, maybe it's a piece of string art, maybe it's something you keep on your desk at work or alongside the dash in your car. Your action for this week is simply to share a photo of that item. Share why it matters. Tell us why you keep it or where it came from. Share that photo with the hashtag #PotluckSociety. And that's it. You did it. Thanks this week to Kara Hetland and South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thank you to the team at In the Moment with Lori Walsh. Thanks to everyone that takes a couple minutes each week to sit down and celebrate the ordinary people that are building extraordinary communities. It has been great seeing you here again at the Potluck Society. I do hope we'll see you soon. And as always, don't forget to bring an idea to pass.